Bad News Reinvention 2007 podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In Series 5, we examine the future for marketers and how increased consumer control is impacting on the way marketers plan and implement marketing communication campaigns. We explore the drivers behind the move away from traditional marketing and identify the challenges for the future. This series of interviews is an educational initiative supported by the Australian Association of National Advertisers.
Welcome to Ad News Reinvention 2007 podcasts. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications, and we're about to talk with Ian Orwell, Director of Marketing Communications for Nestlé Australia and Chair of the AANA. Good morning, Ian, and welcome to Six Questions.
Good morning.
Ian, we're here to talk about how marketers are adapting to an era of increased consumer control. Obviously, would it be affecting a lot of different areas in your business? With Nestlé, you're probably changing the way in which you plan marketing campaigns, Ian. How much impact is this increased consumer control having?
Well, changes to our communication planning process have been driven more by fragmentation of the media and the message rather than by consumer control, to be honest. There's more changes needed. Given the multitude of changes occurring, that's fragmentation, a little bit of consumer control, competition, trade pressure, health trends, we're constantly testing new ways to connect with consumers. For example, our Nestlé Plenty program and our database, our Liz Ellis campaign, for example.
And there are ways in which you're bringing consumers and getting direct involvement and connection with consumers and two-way interaction going?
Certainly through our database, absolutely, and certainly through our internet program.
And what are the learnings, Ian, that you can share that have come out of those two initiatives?
Well, we've evolved our communication planning process. These days it starts with an idea, as ideas already have, but we now do media touchpoint planning in parallel with the development of the creative that creative idea and the message contained within it. We found that in many instances, the ideas that we have to have will come from the media itself. So we can't ignore the influence of the media in that whole creative process. We're watching carefully and testing, where appropriate, the process, changing it all the time. For example, Milo Cereal has a My Place website to communicate more about the nutritional advantages of our product, which can't readily be done on a 30-second television commercial.
And I imagine what you're doing is, like many major marketers, reallocating funds from traditional to non-traditional. We often talk to clients about it's the way they mix together these days and how they can do different things, like you're just suggesting there. What are your learnings there and how you get the two different areas working together?
Well, certainly over time, the mix of our media has changed fairly significantly. Certainly it has between free-to-air and paid television. But increasingly, we've made greater use of outdoor. We've found that it really does suit certain types of our products, particularly the more impulse-driven purchases. The amount of money we've put aside now towards our database marketing and internet-based activity has increased substantially over the last 5 years. It still doesn't overpower mainstream media, but it's certainly increasing in the size of money we're putting towards it.
We're seeing, it's interesting because what we're seeing with the social networks is a lot of opportunity to really do community-based marketing and to get involved on a number of different levels with consumers. Have you been working in these areas at all, or do you see that as an opportunity for the future?
In a number of brands, we've been working very closely with consumers, particularly our Milo programs, for example, with cricket and skiing and tennis and the whole range of Milo involvement in development of kids' sports. At a corporate level, for the corporate activity, we're involved in a lot in school programs and teaching kids nutrition. And we've had a very heavy involvement with the Institute of Sport. These sorts of social programs are much more woven into the fabric of what we do these days than they perhaps would have been in the past, and we're working increasingly to expand those programs and leverage them into more powerful opportunities for us at a brand and a product level.
Specifically, what are you doing with Nestlé and the Institute of Sport?
Well, we're doing a whole range of things and have been doing them since back in 1998 when we became major sponsors of the Institute, particularly as it regards kids. We sponsor the food and nutrition learning program down there at the Institute in Canberra, where they get some 150 200,000 kids a year through the Institute, and make sure the kids understand how important good nutrition is to good performance in sport. We've developed nutrition learning programs in concert with the Institute of Sport, and these go out to schools through the education departments of the different states or with their approval. There have been, I think, about 14,000 downloads and about 10,000 printed teaching programs for years 5 and 6 students that have gone out to schools around Australia to ensure that kids understand the importance of good nutrition. There's a singular lack of backup material for teachers to be able to teach it, and we've provided that. We then supplemented that with more material on teaching kids how to run, kick, jump, hit a tennis ball, shoot a goal, to make sure that they're equally active when they're at school as well. And these programs are being sent out to schools under the auspices of the Institute of Sport and with our backing and our information, which we've now done as a corporate program, as I said, since 1998.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's a very tangible demonstration of how to become actively involved and attack it from a different angle.
Absolutely. I mean, yesterday, since its inception, has been about good nutrition. We sell a whole range of other products as well, but nutrition, health and wellness has always been where we've come from since its early days as a company.
And it's really
one way in which we can give back to the community what it needs in terms of learning about good nutrition in the current environment.
They certainly provide the opportunity to deliver a brand experience which is well beyond traditional media. And I think that's something which is a good opportunity. How do you feel about new brands and building new brands in this environment that has so much media fragmentation? What's your perspective on how hard it will be to launch and establish a new brand in the future?
Look, if you offer consumers a new product that meets needs or meets unmet needs, you can definitely build new brands, and this will always be the way. But the reality of it is that every brand must have a product or a service to give that brand a reality. You cannot do it without a new product or a new service which meets a need. Increasingly, we will find ways to find what consumers' needs are, and where we can, we'll leverage existing brands around the service or the product that we provide. But where we can't, well, clearly we'll either build one or buy one.
Exactly.
We've done that in the past.
Yep. And it's also what you're touching on there is the importance of brand authenticity as well, in the delivery of meeting an actual real need rather than, you know, sometimes we see line extensions for the sake of.
Oh, indeed. It's much better to have something which meets a real need for the consumer, and that's the product or the service. And in our case, with food products, it's critically important. People care a lot about what they put in their mouths, the taste of it in particular.
And I imagine given the climate today and the way there's a lot of focus in certain areas with obesity and other issues, that the social networks and the internet mean that people are talking a lot themselves anyway about these products and about what's going on. So you guys need to engage with people in these areas?
Yes, we are. We're constantly doing our research on consumers and constantly in an innovation and renovation program on our products. It's quite clear that the consumer is looking for a range of increasingly healthy and more nutritious products. And we're doing a lot, as are many other manufacturers, about reducing salt, fat and sugar levels in their products to meet consumers' desires. But at the same time, we must make sure, and it always takes time to do it, that we don't lose great taste along the way.
It is a bit of a balance, isn't it, as you say. Ian, where was development, you touched on earlier, the development of campaigns, media and creativity in conjunction, because it all overlaps these days, and we know a good creative idea can really come from anywhere in the business. How does Nestlé approach this, I mean, in terms of finding the kind of creative solutions that are right for your brands? You've got ad agencies, media agencies, digital guys. How do you work together with these people?
Well, in all honesty, we don't mind where the idea comes from. Traditionally, and I guess still to a large majority, the ideas come from our creative agencies or our brand agencies. But we don't mind where it comes from. I can probably isolate a number of instances where the idea has come from the media agency itself, that's Optimedia. In the new media, given that everybody's learning how to deal with it and how the creativity needs to be applied, we're prepared to listen to ideas that will come from the owners of the media themselves or the people who are selling that media, because more often than not, they know best how to apply an idea to that medium, and the application sometimes leads to the idea itself. It can be an inverse process. You don't necessarily have to start with an idea. You can start with an opportunity and then work backwards toward an idea that will fulfill it.
So it's a bit about having an open mind. And do you try a lot of experimentation at Nestlé? There's a lot of learning programs underway?
We experiment a bit. But the reality of it is we still have to deliver programs to our customers, and they need to believe them in them as well, and believe that they are going to support the products that they are supporting at the retail level. So there's a certain amount of experimentation, and that will increase. But at the moment, it's basically explore as we need to, rather than wholesale exploration of new opportunity.
And still making sure you're taking care of the bottom line.
Absolutely. bottom line and our customer.
Yep. Ian, just to wrap it up, what do you see as the single biggest issue that's facing marketers at this point in time?
Big question. I think probably the things we've just been talking about, actually, the exploration and adaption of activity to new opportunities under increasing budget pressure.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of opportunities out there, but only a certain amount of money to go searching out ways of meeting those opportunities. I guess the second one would be the breeding of a culture of passion and obsession for consumers and brands.
Yeah.
In a market where marketers are increasingly given all sorts of opportunities as well to pursue other careers that don't necessarily involve consumers and brands. So we have to keep people interested in the marketing function, and we have to keep them interested and passionate about brands, because brands are the lifeblood of our business.
Yeah, so it's really about keeping people motivated and on track with where you guys are seeing the future.
Keep them motivated, yes, certainly keeping them motivated and but above all, passionate about food and beverage brands. There's a lot of pressure on for marketing funds these days, particularly in the food and beverage area. They're going to have to continue to keep themselves motivated and up and exploring with what they've got available. Sometimes that's a challenge.
Yeah, well, it's certainly exciting times. I mean, some people from overseas have been saying that there's never been a time where we've known less about where it's going in the future. I suppose what we've got to do is have a positive attitude and look at that as a great opportunity.
Certainly is an opportunity, but it's also exciting.
Yep, I think you're right there. Well, Ian, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it. It's been good to get those insights, and we'll be talking to you hopefully again in the future.
My pleasure.
AdNews Reinvention 2007 podcasts are an initiative from Advertising News, On Communications and Stellar Sound. AdNews is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au for marketing trend information and to register for the free fortnightly review newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.